Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
As you all know, shortly after 7 a.m. this morning, a gunman opened fire on members of Congress and their staffs as they were practicing for tomorrow's annual charity baseball game. Authorities are continuing to investigate the crime, and the assailant has now died from his injuries. The FBI is leading the investigation and will continue to provide updates as new information becomes available. Congressman Steve Scalise, a member of House leadership, was shot and badly wounded and is now in stable condition at the hospital, along with two very courageous Capitol police officers. At least two others were also wounded. Many lives would have been lost if not for the heroic actions of the two Capitol police officers who took down the gunman despite sustaining gunshot wounds during a very, very brutal assault.
And ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap Today. That was the President of the United States just a few moments ago as he gave a brief commentary to the media about, in my words, a planned grand assassination against what is appearing to be the case, targeted Republicans. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the kind of thing that should bring America together, should bring Democrats and Republicans together. The president talked about being united, or the need for being united, for the common good. We're going to talk about this issue today, and we're also going to talk in the second segment about Bernie Sanders then and some comments that he made a few days ago, saying that an individual, Russell Vogt, in his nomination for the Office of Management Budget, Deputy Speaker or Director of Possession, was not qualified to serve in government because he was a Christian. Now think about this, ladies and gentlemen. These are key things. We're going to talk about these and more today on Stand in the Gap Today. This is Sam Rohr, and I'm joined today by David Kistler and Gary Dahl. The whole team is back, and our special guest that's often on with us every other week, David New, our Washington beat attorney and constitutional expert. And gentlemen, I want to bring us right in, go right to the heart of this issue here today. We heard the president just briefly give some commentary. I will say this right now on the UK news. UK Daily Mail, it's up there. People can get it. The headline states, and then Dave Kistler, I'm going to go to you for some further commentary, but it states that white male, aged 66, from Illinois, opened fire on Republican lawmakers. They identify him as a Trump-hating Bernie Sanders supporter. Now, I haven't heard that come up, but that's in the UK. It's how they're reporting it. Dave Kistler, tell us what you know from what's happening, and because you're having some contact with gentlemen and people on the ground there in D.C.
Well, Sam, it started about 7:30 this morning when I became aware of it, and obviously the key victim here is Steve Scalise. He was shot in the hip, evidently from a dugout area along the third baseline of a practice field in Alexandria, Virginia. And by the way, gentlemen, I'm very familiar with that area. I've preached in that area around where that ball field is many, many times. Anyway, Steve Scalise goes down. Others in the area, realizing that there's gunfire going off, begin to drop to the ground. Others run for the dugout. And somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to as many as 100 shots, some have said, were fired. But gentlemen, I think we need to focus on this. This was a miraculous event today that God used two Capitol Hill police officers with just handguns to respond to a gentleman with a long rifle. And they were both injured in the process, but they took down the gentleman. And it's the word is being used, Sam, over and over again within the media. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And one congressman said this: when I dove into the dugout, I prayed with the other members of Congress that were in the dugout. So this is a time indeed, not only to unify as a people, this is a time for America as a whole to turn back to the God of heaven.
Boy, David, I think you've gone, or Dave, you've gone right to the heart of that. And we're going to talk more about this as we get into the solution stage on the end, because we're seeing lawlessness across the world and right here. I want to look here just the next couple of minutes in this segment, really where we go from here, because a lot of the information is still being put together. FBI saying they're still analyzing who this guy is and why he did what he did. But I submit, gentlemen, that what government does will be led by what the people do and respond, but whether or not they say that this necessitates building a further wall around Washington to protect and isolate, effectively protect, isolate those in Congress who many believe are already out of touch, the response that becomes critical. Gary, in just a few words, do you think that here, as some may say, an open society, a free society as we have, needs to be limited because that is what permitted this to happen? Or do you think that there is another cause for this kind of thing to occur?
Well, Sam, I think that that's a very important question, and it's a question that's going to be discussed. And we all know how society has been limited in many, many ways since 9/11/01. And I'm certain that there is going to be more security around congressmen as a result of this, and our senators and so forth. But I often think, Sam, that we really miss the point. You know, the point isn't the gun. The point isn't the protection, although protection is needed. And the right usage of a gun certainly is wise. But when it comes down to it, it's the heart of the individual. And, you know, that's what the American Pastors Network is all about, trying to proclaim the truth of the Word of God to change people's lives and change people's hearts. We can't limit ourselves to the point that we can't even go out in public without having some kind of restriction. This is a free society. A free society and democracy is going to bring these kind of things. And I think that we need to understand that. We need to know that that's the truth. And so I'm not one to say, well, let's put up higher walls and, you know, let's put our congressmen in greater protective circles to the degree, as I am saying, let's get out the word of God that it'll change people's lives, and when hearts are right, then these kind of things will stop.
Gary and Dave and David, we all know this. Our founders said, William Penn said here, that if our citizens do not choose to govern themselves according to God's holy word, the Ten Commandments, with respect of life and property, if we do not have citizens who believe that, we will not be able to keep a free society. So, Gary, you're spot on. And we're going to develop this, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit more as we go through the program today. And when we go to the next segment, we're going to play a little clip by Senator Bernie Sanders, where he actually has the audacity to say that an individual, because he is a Christian, you'll hear it, is not qualified to serve in government. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you cut Christ out, you cut God out, what are you going to get? We're going to talk about this and let some of this next segment speak further to this issue we're discussing today. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
The general theme for today's program is Under Attack, Christianity, Human Rights, and Truth. We saw the attack in Washington, D.C. this morning as the news continues to unfold about what it was that prompted this individual to attempt to slay perhaps dozens of Republicans, it appears, members of Congress. But there are other people who are attacking religious freedom and Christianity in positions of authority, not just people, average people attacking those in positions of authority. We have people in positions of authority, namely Bernie Sanders, who is attacking the heart of freedom. Just several days ago, a renowned economist, Russell Vogt, a man known to be a Christian, was nominated by President Trump as Deputy Director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. The nomination went before the Senate for consideration. Normally, a budget director is questioned on matters of fiscal policy or budgetary items to determine their level of ability in that area, but not so when Bernie Sanders had the opportunity to question Russell Vogt. Instead, what should have been a questioning of abilities turned into an assault on Christianity and the Constitution. I want you to listen to this short clip of Bernie Sanders. Listen to it very carefully, and then Dave Kistler and David New and Gary Dull and I will have some comments about this at the end because it is profound in its implication. If you could play it, Russ, please.
The letter states, and I quote, "We write to express our deep concerns about the nomination of Russell Vogt to the position of Deputy Director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. Mr. Vogt has denigrated American Muslims and the Muslim faith. His writings demonstrate a clear hostility to religious pluralism and freedom that disqualify him for any appointment, including that of Deputy Director of the OMB." So, for the record. In the piece that I referred to that you wrote for a publication called Resurgent, you wrote, Muslim, quote, "Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned." End of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian, and I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post, as I stated in the questionnaire to this committee, was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. And
again, I apologize. I do. Forgive me. We just don't have a lot of time. Do you believe that people in the Muslim religion stand condemned? Is that your view?
Again, Senator, I'm a Christian, and I wrote that piece.
Well, what does that say?
The statement of faith of Wheaton
College. I understand that. I don't know how many Muslims there are in America. I really don't know. Probably a couple of million. Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned? What about Jews? They stand condemned too?
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand that Christianity is the majority religion, but there are other people who have different religions in this country and around the world. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?
Thank you for probing on that question. As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect regardless of their religious beliefs. I believe that as a Christian, that's how I should treat all individuals.
And do you think your statement that you put into that publication, they do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ the Son and they stand condemned, do you think that's respectful of other religions?
Senator, I wrote a post based on being a Christian and attending a Christian school that has a statement of faith that speaks clearly with regard to the centrality of Jesus Christ in salvation.
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about. I will vote no.
This individual is not somebody who is qualified for office. And there were other things that he said. He denigrated American Muslims and the Muslim faith. His writings have clearly demonstrated his hostility to religious pluralism and freedom, and it disqualifies him from any appointment, and particularly that of deputy director of the OMB. Wow. Dave Kistler, let me go to you first. Did it strike you odd that Bernie Sanders would go to bat for Muslims in this country and denounce Russell Vought when, in fact, the Quran commands the death of all non-Muslims and says that all Christians and Jews should be destroyed when Bernie Sanders himself is a Jew? What do you make of that?
You know what? It's either the consummate example of ignorance or the consummate example of stupidity, the consummate example of, I don't know what word to even put in there. I would say this, though, Sam. Our founders, if they could hear what Bernie Sanders did, would be rolling over in their graves. There are so many things to deal with and to talk about that he made in those comments there that we can't really probably get into any of them, but it's stunning. Those who understand the founding of America understand we were founded upon Judeo-Christian belief. And when in America did it become a crime to adhere to a statement of faith from the Christian school that you graduated from or adhere to a doctrinal statement that believes the centrality of Jesus Christ? Sam, this is insanity that is going on in this country. I mean, if I had not heard that, of course, today's not the first time I heard it, but had I not heard him make that statement, I would have said no one, in Bernie Sanders included, could be crazy enough to make a comment like that, but he did.
And you know something, man, the timeliness of this program, as you are speaking right now, Dave, comes up an alert on my iPhone that says Bernie Sanders right now. Bernie Sanders, same guy who just said that Russell Vought was not qualified to serve in government because he was a Christian, just now stood up and denounced the shooter. I wonder on what basis he would denounce that shooter of his Republican colleagues, because right and wrong seems to me goes to the heart of this, and right and wrong is a matter of God's moral law from the Ten Commandments. Interesting. Dave, you say there's a disconnect. Boy, are you right. David New, go to you. The Constitution has a lot to say about trying to put a religious test into place, particularly if you're a Christian, correct? Talk to us about it.
Well, the Constitution clearly says, in Article 6, it says, but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Bernie Sanders specifically asked a theological question. The question was unconstitutional. It was inappropriate. He should have never been allowed to pursue that line of questioning. It simply doesn't matter what this individual's theological position is. This man has, in effect, created a religious test for public office. I didn't know this happened. And if I didn't hear it, I wouldn't have believed it. I can't understand how this man can go around asking theological questions from the president's nominees.
David, I think it's interesting that you went right there. He was asking a theologically based question without saying it, but that's where you went. And Gary, I want to go to you. You're a pastor. You are dealing with this, and I actually think you actually preached a little bit on the last Sunday about some of this, but I want to ask you this. When you listen to that clip right now, did you find it odd, or why do you perhaps... did Bernie Sanders erupt in anger? And we could all hear it. He got furious when Russell Vought went back again and talked about Jesus Christ as the way to heaven. Why do you think Bernie Sanders would erupt so angrily at that statement about Jesus Christ, which, as David New says, it does go the theological part?
Well, it does, and I heard that on Sunday morning as I was getting ready for church, and I did include it in my Sunday morning message, you know, because it related to what I was preaching on. The question that I dealt with on Sunday morning was, why do people need Jesus Christ? And so it fit right into my message by way of illustration. I think what we see in Bernie Sanders' answer from the theological perspective is the fact that the Word of God teaches us that the message of Jesus Christ and the message of the cross is a stumbling block to those who do not believe. And I think that Bernie Sanders' response was an illustration of that. In addition, I think that he was no doubt under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God by the way that he responded. I have found down through the years that when you give the truth, and the Spirit of God always uses truth to bring conviction, that people will either respond in a negative or in a positive way, and that's exactly what Bernie Sanders did. You know, we need to set the record straight. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Christ is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That's a reference to Jew, Gentile, bond, free, Muslim, non-Muslim, atheist, everybody on the face of the earth need Jesus Christ. Without him, there's condemnation to hell.
And Dave Kissel, I'm going to go back to you, because what Gary cited, that's what God's Word says. That wasn't Russell Vogt's opinion. That's not our opinion. That's what God says. For the application, Dave, of people who are listening, do you believe that Russell Vogt demonstrated a Christian testimony clearly when he answered the question? I mean, frankly, I do, but I want you to comment on it, because Bernie Sanders wanted him to back off, but he didn't back off.
No, Sim, he did not. He stood graciously. He was as Christ-like as anybody could possibly be expected to be in that environment. But he didn't back off of what he believes. And he kept going back to the statement of faith connected with the Christian college he attended. And I think that was sheer brilliance on his part, because all of us have a code of conduct or a statement of belief that we adhere to. And that's exactly what he was saying. Yes, I believe this. I'll not back down. Good for him.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you've just heard in this segment is what Stand in the Gap Today, the American Pastors Network, is all about. The news of the day from a constitutional and biblical perspective. And without analyzing this and that shooting that just took place from a biblical and constitutional perspective, there will not be a proper understanding nor a right conclusion. We're now going to go to the United Kingdom next segment, where they're talking about changing human rights by their parliament, changing the definition of human rights. Where in the world are we going, ladies and gentlemen?
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
If you're now just joining us on Stand in the Gap Today, we want to thank you for doing so. And again, as I say often, if you're in the car, if you're at home, if you are in the workplace where many gather every day for this program to listen to it in their lunchroom gathering, men in the workplace and others, we thank you for being a part of it. I want to suggest to you again as well, you can pick up all these archives, all the programs, and a lot of information is on these programs. I know it's too much to get at one point. Go back and listen to them again. Take notes on them if you can help to do so. And go to standinthegapradio.com. Go there or download our app on your iPhone, Stand in the Gap, or on your Android, American Pastors Network. Both of those, you can download our app and listen to this program live or at your convenience, and we encourage you to do that. Now, in this segment, we're going to go to the United Kingdom. We're talking about an assault on Christianity, human rights, and truth. We've talked about that already and given some real live current circumstances. I want to go to the United Kingdom and ask our special guest David New to unpack this a little bit. But recently the UK Prime Minister made a startling statement about human rights, saying that in effect, that if human rights get in the way of certain government agendas, then Parliament there will just have to change the laws regarding human rights. Really? Think about that. David, you're aware of the statement. I want to have you just confirm these elements and identify the statement, where it was made, when, and why it's so enormously frightening.
The Prime Minister, Theresa May, made this statement last week, and of course the upcoming election was right around the corner, which now has occurred, but also there was two horrible terrorist events, one in Manchester and the other one, and so she apparently has pushed the panic button or gotten very frightened, and she said some things that no American politician, to my knowledge, has ever said. But there's a reason why she can say it in the UK and why no American politician would dare to say it in the United States, at least so far. Here's what she said concerning the terrorist. And I mean doing more to restrict the freedom of movements of terrorist suspects when we have enough evidence to know that they are a threat, but not enough evidence to prosecute them in full in court. And here's the key phrase, and this is by the BBC, and if our human rights laws get in the way of doing it, we will change the law so we can do it. No American politician would ever say that because of this statement written by Thomas Jefferson. But it can be said in the United Kingdom for a different reason. Look what it says. Mr. Jefferson said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men." Now notice carefully what that paragraph does. It gives you the chain of authority. It goes from God, the Creator, to people, then to the government. The government gets its power from the people, and the people get their power to create government from God. So it goes God, people, government. In the UK, it's not like that. Here's the chain of authority in the UK. It goes from God to the monarch, then to the people. And in this instance, the people are subjects. So in the U.S., it goes God, people, government. In England, it goes God, monarch, then to the people. Which means, since the monarchy exists in England, the monarchy, the queen, ostensibly can change human rights because she gets her power directly from God. The largest landowner in the world, ladies and gentlemen, the largest, numero uno, is the Queen of England. She owns all the land in Great Britain. She owns all the land in Canada and all the other places where her rule is still legally recognized. Now, of course, she owns all this land in paper only, but she is legally the largest landholder in the world because she gets her authority from God directly, and her people are her subjects. So this is the difference between the United States and the UK. The source of authority is very, very different, and it's terrible. This is where you see dictatorships and people forming right here when they panic like this.
David, let me ask you a question. Obviously, understanding the nature of those words by Thomas Jefferson, we agree. However, when you hear a comment like in the prior segment coming from a gentleman named Bernie Sanders, who takes an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, that betrays or belies there is a tremendous ignorance of our own founding documents. So my question to you is this: how close are we to being precisely where England is, practically speaking, if we don't know the truth that's ensconced in our own founding documents?
Well, we're in very much of danger. And one of the reasons why Bernie Sanders said the kinds of things that he said to that individual, and it was a horrible thing. I hope somebody sat him down and read Article 6 of the Constitution. But the reason why he talked like that, and you wouldn't have heard that 50 years ago. You wouldn't have heard it perhaps even 40 years ago. But there's a reason why Americans are talking like that. And one of the reasons is what happened in 1962. When the Supreme Court came out and said that prayer in a public school it violates the Constitution. They were sending a subtle message. The message was, prayer is offensive speech. That's when America took a new turn. Forget about the actual issue of whether kids can pray in a public classroom or not. That was just the surface violation or surface issue. There is a deeper message than just that, and that is that religious speech is offensive speech. And that's why America took a sharp turn where we used to value the freedom of religion in this country to where it's now a liability to even serve in the United States government.
David, let's delve into this a little bit deeper, if you don't mind, particularly as it relates to the Declaration of Independence and not only the government of the UK, but the government of the United States of America. You made reference to it. Our Declaration of Independence tells us that we have certain unalienable rights that come from God. And by the way, I really appreciate how you drew that line from God to people to government. That's the way that it should be. Yes. That's the way that it is brought out in the pages of Scripture. The Declaration reflects that. I'm glad that you brought that out. Very good point. But here is my question to you. What happens when the whole concept of human rights or unalienable rights given by God gets in the way of human government to the point that human government then snuffs out those human rights? What is going to be the end result of that, whether it's the United States or the United Kingdom?
Well, you're going to have a Soviet America. You're going to have a Nazified America, because that's in effect what those states represent, including our good friends in China. They believe that the state has priority over the individual. The state is more important than the individual. The state provides everything to the individual, and therefore the individual is subservient to the interests of the state. The American political philosophy says baloney. The individual gets his authority directly from God. It's John 3:16. For whosoever will. That puts the individual, makes the individual supreme.
David New and Gary and Dave Kistler, here again in this short segment, we have taken a major current issue, examined it just very briefly, theologically, and Dave, that's what you're talking about, God to man to government. That's Judeo-Christian, purely biblical theology. That's the way it's laid out. And we're talking constitutional application, because here we have a democratic republic, a constitutionally governed republic based on that theology. And you've got the monarchy, which you just described, where the queen, in fact, owns the land, which probably most people listening to the program today never heard. Ladies and gentlemen, the point here is that worldview makes all the difference. Bernie Sanders has a worldview, and it is that Christianity is not appropriate. Islam has a worldview that says Jews and Christians ought to be killed. Atheism, Soviet mentality, has a worldview that competes with all others. And so does Christianity, based according to the Bible. Only one of them leads to true freedom, such as we have. And that is what is under assault across the world and here in America today. Under attack, Christianity, human rights, and truth, really. That is what's happening. When we come back in the next segment now, we're going to go into our solutions segment. What is the answer to lawlessness? Freedom? More freedom? Or is dictatorship the solution? Two worldviews, two totally different results. We're going to talk about that, net it down, solutions, identify the problem, and then the solutions. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr, Dave Kistler, Gary Dahl, and our special guest, David New. We will be right back in just another couple of moments. Stay with us. We'll be right back in segment four, answer segment.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Now, as we move into this fourth segment here, the close of our fast program for today, we normally have this as a solution segment. And so we're going to do that. Although we've been presenting analysis and solutions somewhat through the program, we've highlighted, really, in a broader sense, examples of lawlessness in society with the attempted mass assassination, in my opinion, as I call it, of elected congressmen there in Virginia. We've talked about the mentality of the United Kingdom Prime Minister and others there who believe that human rights can be changed by the whim of government. We've talked about Bernie Sanders, who believes that anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and is a Christian and actually lives what he says is not qualified for any position in government. The question is, how do we handle this? How do we interpret and respond to this? Gary, I want to go to you first, because before we come up with a solution, we really have to net down the cause of the problem. In a few words, could you identify from a biblical perspective the cause for lawlessness that we're seeing, the disrespect for human life in this individual who just goes and wants to shoot those in Congress or anybody else, and the mentality of a Bernie Sanders who believes that Christians are disqualified from being or serving in government? Net this down briefly, if you could, Gary.
Sam, it's the rejection of the Judeo-Christian ethic that's based upon the teaching of the Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's interesting, when you read the Old Testament prophets, you find that they are speaking as though it's tomorrow morning's news. And in light of your question, my mind goes back to the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 7, of course, Jeremiah was speaking to the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, and he says, "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination," what? "Of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Anytime we walk in the counsel of our own evil heart, Sam, we go backward, not forward, whether it's the church, the nation, or the individual. And then down in the 28th verse of Jeremiah 7, Jeremiah says this, "But thou shalt say unto them," God says this to Jeremiah, excuse me, "thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth." That's where we are. That's why we are in the condition that we're in today. That's why Bernie Sanders says what he is saying. There is no obedience to God. God's word is forsaken. Truth is cast out into the street, and there is no absolute guidance that the word of God gives.
All right, Gary, you made it very, very clear. Dave Kistler, let me go to you now. Gary's defined the cause. Effectively, he's saying we've rejected God, we've rejected truth, and we are acting almost as if we are God. And if I could add this to it, really, it's because people don't really believe that there is sin or that people are sinful, and therefore that changes the whole perspective of how you deal with these circumstances. Dave, I'm very much afraid that in the absence of recognizing who God is, that people will increasingly clamor for more laws, more control, more iron-fisted hand of government. David, you referred to that earlier. That's the history. That's the history of civilization. So let me come back to you now and say, all right, here, as we are in America, we are turning away, we know from God, but we're not yet under a dictatorship. Dave, lay out some solutions now.
Well, Sam, wow, that's a powerfully important question. We could talk for an entire hour on this, but I will say this, Sam. I think David New hit the nail squarely on the head when he went back to 1962 and he said God was removed from public discourse, public education. Prayer to God was removed. All of that set in motion a series of dominoes that have continued to fall over, the latest domino being what happened today in Alexandria, Virginia. When there is no knowledge of God, then rank lawlessness is the result. And if you know anything about the prophetic portions of Scripture, the end time is going to be a time characterized by that very word. In fact, the Antichrist himself is called the lawless one. So we're going to see a headlong rush toward lawlessness until and unless there is proclamation of truth coming first and foremost from the pulpits of America. It's ironic. We just heard an ad. I don't know that all of our stations hear the ad, but it was during the last break where it talked about anything goes. Everything is accepted now and nothing is declared as wrong until pastors, preachers, leaders religiously have enough courage to stand up and say certain things are right, certain things are wrong, according to God's inerrant word. And until we have the inculcation of that into our government once again, where our government officials believe and state that, until we go back to the homes and parents state the same things to their children, Sam, we can erect more walls. We can have a steel barricade around Washington, D.C. and let nobody in. And inside that steel barricade, wrong things will happen because we're not addressing the heart.
Well, Dave and Gary, I think that is excellent. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to pull in one other thought here in application. Again, if you go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, go back and listen to last Thursday, June the 6th, I think it would be the right date, or no, the 8th, I guess. We had George Barna on this program. We were talking about the recent research that indicates that even of those who say they are born-again Christians, get this, 75% of those who say they are born-again Christians across America believe that man is basically good. Can you believe that? And 50-some percent believe that Jesus Christ didn't really live a sinless life. Dave Kistler, what you're talking about, the preaching of the word, the preaching of the truth, has got to take on a new meaning. Many who are standing in the pulpits of America have not been preaching the truth, and we've got an entire population, many of whom would say they're not a killer, they're not a sinner, but they don't even believe, first of all, that they are a sinner. We've got to be speaking and preaching, gentlemen, the whole counsel of God, who God is, and the sinfulness of man. David, goes to the heart of what you're talking about. We've got to have a new term, a new definition, application of truth, basically do what the Bible says. Dave Kistler, you're trying to say something.
Well, I am, Sam, and what I want to say is this. For far too long, we have feared what man's going to say in response to our preaching. The time has come when we need to be concerned primarily about what God says about our preaching and stop worrying about what people think. If God is pleased and we're communicating truth, really in one sense, that's all that matters. We have tried for too long to make our message palatable to a culture that is devoid of truth. We cannot fear doing that any longer. We have to speak the truth unequivocally as it is to people as they are.
And that's the bottom line. And David New, let me go to you and ask you to close this program in prayer, praying for these things that we've discussed today.
Absolutely. In Psalm 64, it says, "Hear my voice, O God, and my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity." Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our president. We ask, dear Father, that you protect him and guide him and give him wisdom in these difficult times that he faces. We pray, dear Father, that those who seek to do him harm will be thwarted. Father, we pray for each and every listener today that as they hear this program, they can take what we have shared and go forth and bring light to their neighbor and their community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. David New, Dave Kessler, Gary Dahl, thank you for being a part of the program today. And ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for being a part. Communicate to us. If you like what you're hearing, let us know on the app or by going to their website. And if you like what you are hearing, please support us. Help us financially. Just a few dollars a month would help. We need it. We're a ministry. We need your help. If you want these kind of news analysis to continue, help us here at Stand in the Gap today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.